a lot of times I hear assumptions where people will say like, oh, it must be so uncomfortable to hear Sam and Elle have sex, like things like that. And it's like, no, like that's beautiful for us. And we love hearing each other having sex.
Not a nun, I'm not your mommy.
I'm just asking that you love me no matter what.
What am I, Jesus?
Yeah.
Welcome back. Just 2 weeks since our last episode, I told you I was going to turn these around faster, and I never, ever lie. My name is John. This is Radical Empathy, and I'm here with somebody who might know. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Who are you?
I'm Katie. I'm your spouse, and I am a licensed clinical social worker.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you.
We really didn't mean to record this on our anniversary. It just happened that way.
3 years married, 8 years together.
But who's counting? Who's counting? So marriage is crazy. We could talk about that another time. And this episode is about marriage, right?
Sort of.
Or a marriage.
It's about communication.
Mm-hmm. What's today's episode about?
I knew a woman in college. Mm-hmm. Not very well, but we were Instagram friends. And
wasn't Facebook?
You're right. It was Facebook.
You were stalking this person on Facebook.
You're terrible at this. Okay, you interrupt me so much. Okay. In college, I knew this woman, Diana. Mm-hmm. And when I knew her, she was in a relationship with a man. And I know that she married that man a few years later.
And this man is asked not to be named.
Yeah, that's right.
So anytime you hear this sound, that is her husband.
Right. In these more recent Facebook updates, it looks like she's sharing her life with more people than just the man that she married.
What do you mean by that?
One day she posted pictures from Pride. Mm-hmm. The hashtags she used was Polly and Proud. And so I thought, oh, she's poly now. Hmm. And then I was curious about what that meant for her marriage and what poly looked like in her day-to-day life. And I was telling you about that curiosity, and then you told me to interview her. So I did. I knew polyamory as like a philosophy and as a concept, but I never saw it in a practical way. Mm-hmm. My first questions were, is the husband cool with this? Mm-hmm. Are they still married? Mm-hmm. Is he also poly? Mm-hmm. Or does he have other partners? And then how does it all work? Just before my interview with her, she let me know that she and her husband are separating, mm-hmm. or have been separated for a few months. And she still identifies as polyamorous. How have you been feeling since our convo on Tuesday?
Really nice. I loved having the chance to share and just felt like really great to have somebody interested and wanting to learn from me. So I really enjoyed that.
Should I get into my questions?
Yeah, sounds great.
So the first one is, and it's a big one, who were you when you got married?
That is a big question. I was definitely wrapped up in my career at that time. I was a new engineer. I was still an athlete and working too hard and not taking the best care of myself, but really just was in a pretty high stress period of my life. And I don't think I had really gotten to know myself yet and gotten to know kind of like what I needed in a relationship yet.
How old were you?
26.
26. Mm. I remember being 26, yeah.
Definitely still sucked into the mindset of needing to do what I thought other people wanted me to do. Mm.
Can you describe the moment that you first went to saying that you wanted to be Polly?
Honestly, when we first talked about being Polly, it was a little bit of a joke. Like, oh, maybe if we just had another person that would do that for us, we'd be happier. And we just like threw it around for a little bit. And then at one point, maybe a few months later, and actually came to me first and said, you know, what if we actually did do that? Like, what if we gave it a try and thought of it as an experiment and saw what happened? Hmm. So he was actually the one that took the first plunge into it. It was a little bit unexpected at first because he thought that I wasn't going to be very interested. And, you know, he was really looking for another sexual partner because we weren't getting that need met together. And that wasn't something that he thought that I wanted to. Hmm. He was very surprised that I wanted to give it a try too.
So your initial reaction was actually one of openness?
Yeah. We'd been having challenges for years. As a commercial pilot, he at that time was gone 3 to 4 days a week, and I was just feeling isolated quite often. And so I was, for a long time, wishing that I had someone that was there more often for me. I'd spent such a long time trying to be more emotionally independent for him. He had been willing to try sex therapy together and counseling together to try to have that need met better too. So we both had gotten to the point where we'd been trying and trying and we were still frustrated. I remember having a conversation when we were considering being poly and saying, well, it would be really a shame if we got divorced because of sex, because I love everything else about you. You know, that strive to meet those needs in a different way was really what gave us the push that we needed to give it a try. Mm. We had very different motivations, but we did have specific goals of what we were looking to accomplish and have met by somebody else.
So there was just like a mismatch in desire.
Yeah, it was more like our styles of sex that didn't match very well together. And things that I wanted, he wasn't interested in, and vice versa. We got together so young that we didn't have a very large, you know, pool of sexual experiences. We didn't really understand like what our needs were sexually very much before we got together.
How old were you guys when you met?
2021.
So after you guys came to that conclusion that you would open up the marriage, how long did it take to put it into practice?
It actually turned out not at all like we expected. I was the one to find a partner first. And that was really, really tough on. And for me, it was enlightening because it just peeled away all those years of guilt. And because I was realizing, oh, wow, there's like a lot to sex that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, wasn't able to find a partner right away.
How did you guys navigate that?
It was tough. The first person that I started seeing, I would see maybe once a week or once every other week while was on his trips, so he didn't have to miss out on any of our time together. So we just kind of kept it as like a I don't want to hear the details kind of a situation, you know, which, you know, looking back on it was like definitely not Polly as like I know it now.
When he found his first partner, did things improve?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I felt a lot better after that. It was really exciting to get to hear the things that he was enjoying. For him to, you know, tell me that he was having good sexual experiences and just seeing him overall happier. You know, I have my moments of jealousy, but for the most part, I just wanted him to get those needs met.
Yeah.
And like the beauty about Polly for me is that you're not relying on one partner to meet all of your needs. And that's just so unrealistic in our culture that we just expect one person to meet all our needs. And once I started dating more seriously, it was so great because I have so many intellectual hobbies and interests in common. And we live so well together. We had similar ways that we like to spend our time. We both, you know, would read together before bed and have our coffee together in the morning and go on our walks every day. And so I really valued that I got those things for, but then I was able to have another partner who was more emotionally available and would text me throughout the day. Having the balance of the intellectual needs from and the emotional needs from my then second partner was such a good fit for me.
What was it like to tell parents and friends and like kind of be more open about that identity?
I first let my family know that and I were experimenting with being poly maybe 4 or 5 months into it. Half the people I told thought I was going to get divorced. The other half of the people I told just looked at me like I was crazy. It was quite isolating. The most hurtful was my brother, my closest family member. He came out as gay when he was really young, and my mother and I have always been supportive of him. And so I didn't think twice about telling him. He was the first person I told. When I told my brother, he said he would feel way more comfortable if I was just sleeping around than the thought of me having two emotional relationships. And that was just really crushing.
What did he mean by that? Or what did you take that to mean?
I don't know if it was something about the intimacy of a second emotional partner, but he's also had a really challenging, hard time dating. And so some of that too, he told me later on, came from jealousy. Hmm. Like, how can you have two supportive, fulfilling partners and I can't even find one person to date?
Making me think that becoming poly isn't just a crash course in communication in your primary relationship. It's about communicating intimately with all of your relationships all of the sudden. It just must be an intense feeling to open up that window into your life.
Definitely. Yeah, I felt similar, that like feeling of shame and that feeling of not fitting in and doing something that was like quote unquote wrong.
Would you say that it worked for a while though? Like, because you and were navigating this for about 3 years. Was there a point where you felt like you guys were getting your needs met, communicating well, accepted by your friends and family? Did you ever reach that point of flow?
The good news is yes, but the bad news is that it would come and go.
Hmm.
So we would have periods when was with a partner and fulfilled, and then it would be working really well. And then once his relationship would end and he would be trying to date again, then the tension would build back up.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through a few cycles of that. I was really happy. I loved having both Sam and but they weren't happy.
Just to press pause for a second, one thing about Polly's stories is it's a lot of names and people to keep track of. It gets a little exponentially confusing. Katie, real quick, can you just remind the listener the journey that Diana has taken up to this point?
So Diana and her husband have opened up the marriage. They are both dating outside of each other. Diana has met a man named Sam, and they have become serious.
She did some dating, and then eventually one relationship actually became a serious relationship, coinciding alongside her marriage.
That's right.
Back to the story.
I was really happy. I loved having both Sam and but they weren't happy. They just both wanted more of me than I could give. And I was just like Gumby, like stretched. And like what ultimately led to everything not working out was that we had started talking about co-parenting. It was okay with me having something on the side that happened when he was not around. And that just didn't feel very good to me because I loved them both so much and I wanted them both to be, you know, a big part of that child's life. And then meanwhile, Sam was really feeling hurt by his desire to have him, you know, not as involved. How could we possibly have this situation work out if they both don't want anything to do with each other? There's no way that could be a healthy environment with all that tension.
I know you said in our call the other day, shame comes up, especially like what we talked about earlier, when you first came out to your friends and family about trying poly with, or identifying as poly with, and everyone said, oh, this will end in divorce. I mean, now that you guys are divorced, I'm sure that feeling of shame is amplified.
Definitely. Yeah. And really, I mean, you look at it on paper and it's like, oh, Diana left for her boyfriend. You know, like that's what it looks like from the outside world. And that's not what happened, but that's like when you look at it from afar, what it looks like. Definitely feel the things that I did wrong in the relationship. And I know it's not one-sided, but it's hard to not like beat up on myself about that.
How can you tell the difference between a marriage that's just not working and a larger desire or identity to be poly?
I've spent a lot of time thinking about that too. And the thing I love about being poly is that I just feel like I have so much love to give. And I love being close to others and having those close relationships. And those are kind of the things that make me feel like I identify as poly. But when I was going through those really, really challenging few months last year, I was seeing a poly specific counselor. He really encouraged me to think of my two relationships as completely separate. And while I was deciding how I wanted to move forward, let's just pause Sam for a second and look at just the marriage. what's working and not working in the marriage, and what mm-hmm. would 5 years from now look like if we stayed married. And just looking at it that way, rather than the complexity that was everything all at once.
Yeah.
It felt to me like I had to choose between the two of them. Of course, my counselor kept reminding me there's this third choice of being single. I've never felt so much emotional pain than trying to decide between two people that I really love.
Yeah.
And that was just really like the hardest period of my life. So when I just tried to focus on that one relationship, all I could think about was being alone, raising a child, not feeling emotional connection like I really wanted it, needed it. I wasn't excited for that. There are so many things that I love about him. So many things that I was excited to see him do as a father. But none of that could make up for all of those challenges. So currently, Sam's other partner, Elle, the three of us live together. When I met Sam, I had been on specifically looking on Poly dating app. It's funny looking back, actually, because I was really into cycling at that time. And so I was only swiping on cyclists. And Sam and Elle are both big cyclists. So we actually moved in together unexpectedly. Only 2 months ago, because 7 pipes burst in Elle's condo. We didn't really do very much like processing ahead of time or preparing. So the first couple of weeks we were just like, oh my gosh, we have like completely opposite routines. Like, this is insane. We still have a lot of growing to do living together, the three of us, but it's been really exciting and really positive.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about like the what it really looks like, what kind of boundaries you guys have, and yeah, do you have separate bedrooms, and how does it work if, you know, Sam and Elle have their intimate time, and where are you, and yeah, how that all happens.
The good thing about that is that we really had a strong relationship, the three of us, before living it together. And so we had spent, you know, nights over at their place all together and nights over at my place all together. And so we have a 2-bedroom here. One side of the apartment is not like technically my space, but that's where I have kind of my things and my setup. And then the other side of the apartment is more like Elle's things and Elle's setup, and Sam alternates nights. And then on Saturdays, we sleep together, the three of us, in the giant bed, which is really cute. Sexually, we're all very good at communicating with each other. And one boundary has been very important is that Elle and I don't have a direct physical relationship. And we do have sexual experiences, the three of us, but more so like we are alternating with Sam rather than like together. Mm-hmm. And so it is a really beautiful way to like share all of our love together while still like keeping those boundaries. So initially it was really challenging because I'm super attracted to Elle, and I wanted to have kind of that physical relationship with them. So that was really hard to work through, the first year that we were becoming more involved together. Things that have really worked for us is kind of like having a plan before sex so that we know, like, who are you starting with? Who are you finishing with? And like, what types of acts do you want to do so that we know kind of what's coming?
Excuse me. Oh, sorry. That was John. keep going.
You know, Elle is just so wonderful. They're so supportive of me. I don't even know if I've ever felt judged by them. We both acknowledge that we give such different things to Sam. And like I said before, like, that's the beauty of poly. Like, Elle is non-binary and very much like more on the mask side of things. And so they joke about how like them and Sam are the bros of the house. And I'm more, you know, stereotypical, like, female. I enjoy dressing up and putting on makeup on occasion and, you know, wearing dresses and things like that. And we're just such different partners to him. And he has learned to treat us different and identifies that our needs are different. So that has been so beautiful.
Do you guys talk about having a kid? Because in that environment, it does sound like it could be possible.
Yeah, definitely. It feels a lot safer and more supportive. You know, Elle and I say, I love you to each other, even though we don't consider each other a partner. We talk about Elle being the uncle, which is the non-binary form of aunt or uncle. And Elle likes to joke about being the, you know, the one that sneaks in the chocolates and you know, lets them slip on the rules and things like that, which is really cute.
That is really cute.
When I think about a future with Sam and Elle, I think about always having somebody at home, you know, and like having four extra hands instead of two or zero.
Would you ever get married again?
I am very scared. I'm still struggling with a decent amount of fear from getting divorced. And one thing that we had talked about even before my divorce was having more of a formal commitment ceremony and just having, you know, our close friends and family there to celebrate our love for each other and for the three of us. And that's something that, you know, I think would be really special regardless of if we legally got married.
Yeah, when you picture that ceremony, what do you see? Who's there?
Well, Elle looks very attractive in suspenders, so it would be really cute to have me in a dress, Sam in a suit, and Elle in suspenders. I think that would be adorable. Thinking about family and friends, that kind of brings up a lot of that fear again for me, of just not feeling accepted. And my family was very much not on board with my divorce. And so I think that they're still kind of like mentally transitioning to this change themselves.
Yeah, that's really hard. Do you think that poly relationships will become more common and that like our kids will have a bunch of friends with family constellations that look more like yours?
I have come across a few poly families with children, rarely, but it's out there. And I'm hoping to be an example of how it can be beautiful. But I just really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that the more support a child has, the better. I think that it's definitely going to take a long time because there isn't really that much acceptance out there right now. But hopefully.
Yeah. The idea of me having multiple partners immediately overwhelms me. Like, I feel maybe that like crowded feeling or like that fear of being engulfed. And I just wonder, like, what do you think it says about me if my initial reaction is one of like, oh, that sounds scary, you know?
That's totally understandable. I think that, you know, anything outside of what we're used to is scary. And I've had those moments too. There was a period of time that I had a third partner, and that was definitely overwhelming. There's a term for it, polysaturated. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest lesson that I've learned from being poly is the power of communication and like how much more it can bring to a relationship. And I feel like so often in relationships, we're too afraid to bring up things that we want to work on, or we just try to conform to the other person. Mm-hmm. I've learned about like ways that we can grow closer through those difficult conversations.
I'm really, really glad that you wanted to do this. I think you've been so generous with your story.
It's so wonderful to be able to share in like a space with you that feels so like safe and non-judgmental. It's just such a rare conversation to be able to have.
Katie, thank you for doing that interview.
Oh, you're welcome.
What are you reflecting on as you walk away from hearing Diana's story?
When I listen to someone like Diana, you know, I've been listening to like poly podcasts now and just like hearing more of this perspective.
Mm-hmm.
In the logical side of my brain, I get it. And I think it sounds really lovely. I mean, the language they use is really open, accepting, non-judgmental.
Kind of like radical openness.
Yeah.
Radical generosity that
yes.
These people seem to have in their relationships.
Yeah, specifically when I would ask about jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I've been learning is that like poly folks, they experience jealousy, but it's only temporary. And then they lean into the very generous part of themselves. If you really love someone, you want them to be happy. And so if they're getting their needs met by someone else and they're happy and healthy, then you should be happy for them.
Hmm.
And if I think about you with mm-hmm. somebody else like that, I would rather be cut off from you and you be happy somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate your honesty. Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Do I meet all of your needs? And please just be honest. If people could see your face, it looks so uncomfortable.
Well, I'm trying to locate the honesty. There's no big piece of me that is unmet or unacknowledged by you. I feel like we snap together easily in a lot of categories. And then in some of the other categories, it just, maybe it takes more communication and finesse, but we can still find each other. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like there are big parts of myself that are adrift in our relationship.
I feel the same way. For me, the question is love accepting that you can't have everything and almost kind of committing to somebody knowing that there's a certain level of suffering you have to endure, like in your companionship. But then this alternate take that Diana shared with you is love is just, can be just like an infinite sense of generosity. There's these two kinds of pains, the pain of withholding and the pain of giving on both sides. And I'm just left with that feeling. If you are poly, or you are a poly parent, or you have experiences from a poly relationship, we would love to hear from you. You can leave us a voice message at 312-945-6738, and your message might end up in a future episode. You can find me on YouTube. Make sure to follow Jubilee on YouTube as well. You can also find me on X. And Katie, what's the name of your therapy group?
Scout Therapy Group.
Find her on Instagram, Scout Therapy Group. And once again, thank you to Diana.
You're saying this only to make me go.
I'm saying it because it's true. Inside of us, we both know you belong with Victor. You're part of his work, the thing that keeps him going. If that plane leaves the ground and you're not with him, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life.
But what about us?
We'll always have Paris.